Will you pray with me? Lord, you are great. Great thou art, and it's already been said today, we don't have enough words to say thanks that you came and made yourself low. You might lift us up. And Lord, we thank you that this day we have your life. And this day we have your word. And this day we have your Holy Spirit. All of these things in fullness. And Lord, as we gather around your scriptures now, I pray you make them plain to us. Lord, reveal yourself to us afresh today. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Give us the spirit of understanding. Lord, you blessed your disciples and you gave them the ability to understand scripture. That is what we want. We thank you for this moment together. We thank you that we meet on behalf of you, Lord, in your name, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we're a part of the body and the city. And as others meet, as we do, we together are lifting you up. We thank you, Lord, for the victory and the power and the grace we find in your name this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of years ago, happened to be in the deep jungles of Thailand on my honeymoon. And we had planned a special day trip. And the hotel we stayed at was facing the water. And then all the way behind it is just big cliffs and jungle. And there's only one way to get there. You either got to walk through the jungle or you got to get there by boat. Which is another funny story, because when I was booking there, Sally said, yeah, we can go anywhere, but I just don't want to go anywhere that you got to get there by boat. I thought, yeah, that's fine. And then when we got picked up with the shuttle, they handed me a ticket and they said, oh, you need that for your ferry. And so I had to tactfully inform Sal that, oh, there's a wharf. Probably could be a boat involved. Anyways, it worked out okay. It was a nice boat. But when we're driving in, there's all these long-tail Thai boats that look really rickety and really rough. And you can tell what was going through her mind. So we had this day trip, and so we weren't going by boat. We had to take the monkey trail. And the monkey trail is what you would imagine right now a monkey trail would be. You got to climb up the wooden stairs that people have carved into the mountain, and then you walk kind of like along. It's about a 15-minute walk from the hotel to the next beach along, because you're cutting through a point. Like there's a cove there and that's the next beach. That's where the city is down there. So we're climbing up and my wife, she's breaking the trail, so to speak. She's out in front. She's further down. And we're along the flat part and she starts to slow up. And I'm thinking, wasn't really thinking anything. I'm just keep walking. But then my gaze kind of like, you focus and there's a group of monkeys. There's three on that side and two on that side, maybe a family, like a little baby hanging on somewhere. And so the closer we get to the monkeys, the slower Sally gets in her movement forward. And we've got a time constraint, so I eventually am right behind her and thought, well, we're not stopping for these monkeys, so I just started to push her. And so I guess you can imagine that I'm walking along like this and her feet are getting further and further in front until this almighty prayer of faith came out like you've never heard strong, that sounded something along the lines of, oh, dear Jesus, please help me! And right at the end, a monkey jumped right in front of her just to scare her. And we got through and we walked that trail a number of times. No monkey issues. But but what became apparent to me was I had no problem with the monkeys. But in her mind, she perceived things that I didn't. And so in her mind, these monkeys were obviously about to rob us, like Ned Kelly and his gang, waiting to pounce on me and take my passport, hotel keys, and maybe break into the room. So monkey for one, what about for each of you? Could be money, or lack of at the moment. Bills. I know sometimes things are delivered into my letterbox. When I open the letterbox, I just think, I'm just going to leave that one. Or it gets on my desk and I think, I'm just going to open that later. I'm not ready for that surprise. But obviously that's not a strong plan, as we're encouraged with the Cap Money course. Sometimes things don't go to plan, disappointments, one thing after another. They have a saying in Cambodia, same, same. And Pastor Hong once said to me, oh, same, same, but different, sorry. And Pastor Hong said to me one day, he said, oh, same, same, no same. So that was his interpretation of it. But sometimes, it's what it's like every day, same, same, no same. It's just the same. Maybe hurts, could feel not heard by God, issues at work. What I'm working towards right now is, what's your posture? See, for Sally, she's walking along that path, she sees the monkeys, she freaks out. It's just some silly monkeys. But for us, there's stuff before us right now, families, work, all sorts of stuff. I don't know what your monkey is, but I want to ask you what your posture is towards whatever that thing is. Some days, just getting ready for work, making your lunch, gym junkies make their protein shakes, get their gym clothes, uni books sorted out, out the door, check your phone, listen to music, into work, go home, make dinner. Day becomes week, week becomes month, month becomes year. And all through those things, we carry with us this thing I'm referring to as our posture. How we approach each situation, our attitude, what our instant response is to something in life. And my question to you is not just what's your posture, but is it a posture of faith? I don't know about you, but for me, over the years, my posture has lost its shape a bit. And sometimes I might be at work and I think, okay, I'm just going to sit up straight and sit on this chair and 30 seconds, a minute, you're back. I have a problem with slouching. So for some time, my muscles in my back have got strong in ways that they shouldn't have, and I often return to a default position, right? It doesn't matter how much I try, I've got to rework those muscles so that I'm always standing normal. My posture. So I might try and I might try and I might try, but for some reason, I keep going back to that default position. It might be just me. So I have some work to do to correct it, and I need to do that. But for some reason, if we're not careful, if I'm not careful, our posture can drift. So I'm not talking about my posture in the way that I stand, but our posture in life. Our response to the situations that are before us, we might start off by standing straight. Somehow, the course of time, maybe we're not as straight as we were. And our default becomes one that's poised, not for the right reaction. We can act from a posture formed by the situations in life instead of the word of life. If we look in the scriptures, Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, speaking of faith. And I know that there's many experts of faith amongst us. I mean, Uncle John, he's our pastor, and we've listened to the sermons, and we know about it. But let's have a look at it afresh. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So faith, confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is not blind optimism or a hope-so feeling. Faith is not faith in faith. You know, just gonna have faith. But it's faith in Christ. So simply, faith to a Christian is what a foundation is to a house. It gives confidence or strength to stand throughout life. And before we even knew the Lord, our first response was faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. And Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. So we started with faith, and faith's with us our whole Christian life. This text that we looked at, the first one, we have two parts. Confidence in what we hope for, or that word confidence, you can also read assurance or substance. It's the substance of the thing that we're looking forward to, trusting for. And the second part, assurance. Matthew Henry puts it like this: faith demonstrates to the eye of the mind the reality of those things that cannot be discerned by the eye of the body. It is a firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all that he has promised to us in Christ. Faith is a practical thing. Faith enables us to understand what God does. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see. And as a result, it enables us to do what others cannot do. It's also not a new idea, so to speak. This chapter, I encourage you, read it later on, goes on to speak of the lives of great men and women of faith. These stories all contain the elements of faith that we ourselves also deal with. God spoke, they were stirred in different ways, they obeyed, and he bore witness. So the fruit of faith is also a witness to others in our life. It is a firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all that he has promised to us in Christ. Okay, great faith. If we have a look at Matthew 8:5-13, let's read this. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Then skip down to verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And he was healed that very moment. So, to apply what we learnt with the first scripture today, what did this man do? He was sure of what he hoped for, certain of what he did not see. Lord, just say the word, and he'll be healed. You don't even need to come. You know, this centurion, when you read the other account, he was on his way home with Jesus, so they weren't even in the same place. And Jesus just said, go on believing. And when he got back, the servant was healed. So he didn't even touch him. But this man, respected man, he understood the authority as he was a soldier, and all Christ had to do was speak a word and the disease would obey him, and it did, and at a distance. That's only one. I know each of you have different stories you might have remembered from the scriptures, all very similar. According to your faith, it'll be done to you as you believed. Go, be healed, be delivered, be set free. So many encouraging stories. But do you know what I found challenging in looking at faith? The two accounts where Jesus said, great faith, they weren't the Jews. They weren't his disciples. They were two Gentiles. This is one of them, the Roman soldier, and the other one's the lowly Canaanite woman. But I don't know. I don't know at what point. I don't know if they got saved. I don't know. But there was something about their faith. They just believed. They just like, okay, all you have to do is say it, Lord. You don't even have to come to my house. What would I do if I was there? No, I'd probably be saying, no, please come, lay hands, come in the room, like, do everything. This guy, he had faith. Faith moves God, and lack of it moves him too in a different way. I kind of think, when you see the response of Jesus to lack of faith, it was one thing he really revved up his disciples about. And it's like if someone's a real downer and you're trying to be positive, and doesn't matter what you say, it's just negative. I remember I was helping plan a party and we were setting things up. And this person, we're setting up some fairy lights, hanging them on a mirror, and they're like, wait, if these fairy lights, someone walks in, they're going to choke someone, they're going to pull the mirror down, it's going to smash on the floor, there's going to be broken glass. Serious? Whoa, too much OH&S for one party. No, but sometimes we're like this. But this guy's just like, Lord, say the word. You don't even have to come to my house. Understand how it works. Done. Jesus calms the storm, Mark 4, 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him too. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke, rebuked the wind and the waves, peace be still. The wind ceased. And what did he say? He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? So these are the guys that were the closest to Jesus. They just heard all the preaching on the kingdom. And the comparison we have is the two that had great faith, the Gentile ones that don't know much, and these guys are shaking Jesus out of his sleep, saying, don't you care, we're going to die? You can imagine the scene, fighting over life jackets, trying to get the water out. Where's Jesus? What? He's asleep. Why is this strange? He had said to them, let's go to the other side. So there's a bit of a promise there. You're going to come with me to the other side. They had his presence. He was on the boat with them. What's going to happen to the boat with Jesus on it? And he was at perfect peace. So our storm, our monkey, what are we like? Are we like praying, trying to wake Jesus up to tell him, there's a big problem here, you really need to come through and fix this up for me right now. Don't you know? Don't you know I've got to pay this bill? What's your posture? Right after he rebuked that storm like rebuking a dog, there's a dog that always jumps over my back fence, and there's all these dogs up and down the street. The whole street's full of dogs. As soon as I hear every dog go, I know that dog's in my yard again. Run down there. You get out of here, you dog. But it's not his fault because our fence is really low and it's dodgy. And the point is, he spoke to that storm like a dog. He just was nothing. And then he looked at his disciples and said, you have little faith. So we have his promises, we're surrounded by these witnesses, we've got YouTube with stories of people's amazing miracles, we get good teaching, we have the Bible, we have the Holy Spirit. We're kind of like even more equipped than those guys. But sometimes it feels like he's asleep on our boat, when actually he's on the throne. Faith is persistent. There's another parable I want to have a look at. Parable of the persistent widow. Luke 18, 1-8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about what people thought. Mean person. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with this plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, you know what, even though I don't fear God or care about what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. You can, the root of that word is actually give me a black eye. And the Lord said, listen. Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So the beginning of this little snippet encourages us that we should always pray and not give up, not lose heart, or become discouraged. And you can ask yourself that question too. If you are discouraged, are you praying? Jesus didn't say that we're like this woman because we're actually completely different. If a poor widow got what she deserved from an unjust judge, how much more will God's children receive what is right from the Heavenly Father? This woman was a stranger and we are children. The judge is unjust. We have a Savior who represents us. She had to nag. We have promises. We have the Holy Spirit to help us pray. He was not wearied. He is not wearied by our coming. Faith is sure. Faith believes. Faith is persistent. What's your posture? some of you may know this story, and forgive me if you've heard it before. And just let me know if I added any extra embellishments. I remember after a long period of fishing trips, getting home one night, wet. It was wet. I was at Cryer Bay with Tavis and Philip, and we came home about midnight. I remember sneaking in the back door and Uncle John saying, "Any fish?" And I thought, "Oh, no." Wasn't expecting him to be there. But he's like listening or something, and he's, what are they, bathrobes? And I just went off to my room, but then down the hall, he said something like, "Jonathan." It's like, "Yep. You need to increase your faith and grace for fishing." You know, we're talking about posture. I remember my immediate thought is like, it's a fish. Or in my case, it's no fish for a long time. But I thought about it because I remember he said something, or I don't know when he said it. I just remember him saying, it was in my mind. It said, "Your spiritual father speaks truth in times when you're not ready for it, in very like minute, mundane things. But if you apply faith to that thing, it can be life to you." So I'm thinking it through. Yep. Faith and grace for fishing. Praying about it. And I actually, the more I prayed about it, the more I kept thinking about indifference. And I kind of felt like God was saying to me, "You're indifferent. You're happy to not catch fish and you're happy to catch fish. So doesn't that sound like happy-go-lucky, who cares, you know, doesn't matter?" But if that was my posture in regards to fishing, it was my posture in regards to faith, in regards to believing God, in regards to everything, that was my default position. So I thought, all right, well, I'm going to have to change this. So I had the revelation. I listened to what he said. I decided, okay, well, I'm going to be specific. I'm going to catch a barramundi. It's going to be 84 centimeters, blah, blah, blah. Went out. Other guys got fish too, but the first fish, it wasn't the one. So I had to like keep going, "No, Lord, I believe. 84 centimeter. Uncle John said, I'm going to break this thing. I'm going to tell him." And second fish wasn't it either. I think I got bitten off or something. It's lure. Spat the lure or something. Sorry. All right. I'm going to do this. I'm going to hold the rod like this thing is going to yank this rod out of my hands. It's actually going to happen. I believed. Because that's what it is. Faith is being sure of what you hope for. It's not, I'm going to put in the rod holder. I don't care. Anyways, got the bite. Got the fish. It was 84 centimeters. But it's just a fish. And other people got fish, and other people got bigger fish. But what I got was the experience of the revelation of there was something in my heart that was wrong. And that was affecting my faith. And for whatever reason, it was affecting all of my life. And so what I feel, I guess, inspired about in regards to faith and how this works in today, I think there's been a lot of faith and a lot of prayer exercised through all the people in this church for a lot of years. And it's really, really astounding and it's really good. But I also know that like the disciples, situations of life, things can sneak in where your first response used to be just like, so sure, but maybe it's not anymore. And I guess the challenge today is, what are we going to choose our postures to be? Because Because I know and I think and believe that there's grace, that as a people we can be a people of great faith, that we can be a people that can actually achieve those things. And I think the challenge is when Uncle John and when the leaders say, I'm believing for a new plane, what's your posture going to be? Is it going to be a bit like, yeah, right? Because I know what I want mine to be. Whatever you say, John, if you want a plane, how does it affect me? I want to be someone who's quick to add my faith to somebody else's prayer. I want to be someone who the Lord would be like, great faith. But I know that when I read the accounts of the early church, and I know that we've had astounding experiences of community and love, but I really want to seek the Lord for great grace, for faith. The planes, this building, your families, where we just see the impossible happen. Because when you read the scriptures, that's what's promised to us for those who have faith. Anything is possible for him who believes. Sickness, whatever it is, whatever your monkey is today, can someone play piano, Faith? I just want to take this moment to firstly just deal with our hearts. And faith works in love. And when the apostles were told about how much you should forgive someone when they sin against you, their first response was, we need more faith. And right now, I just think, if you have found yourself and your posture to be a bit slouchy, instead of being one of those ones that just says, Lord, do it. I will believe. I'm going to be sure of that. Now let's deal with it now. Just take a moment right now. Do business with God. Holy Spirit will bring something to mind. It might bring something else to mind. You may not know what to do. We can ask for faith. We can choose to turn around maybe our negative beliefs or expectations. We can ask God to really help us to change these things. We can choose to take a step of faith. We can choose to step out where for some reason, like sticking a finger in the snail's eyes, pull back. For some reason we've pulled back. Yeah, but we've been hurt. Yeah, but that didn't go so well. It's like the water's coming in on the boat and you've got to shake Jesus to wake him up. And the truth is, he's there all along. Lord, you hear our prayers. And the witness of Scripture today is the same it's always been. That you give grace to the humble. And I thank you for every story in the Bible of the astounding things that you have done, and you respond to faith. And on behalf of us all, I ask that you would give us more. Lord, I ask you would cleanse all of our hearts. If we have taken offense or if we've been too slow to step out. And if your word to us today is, where's your faith? Forgive us. I thank you, Lord, that faith is like a mustard seed that grows into a big tree, And I ask that you would scatter across this place right now, Lord, faith. Faith to believe. Faith to stand. Faith to believe your holy scripture that's so true, the foundation of our life. I thank you, Lord. We receive it. We receive that grace this day. And I thank you that it is ours.